So if we go to the FDA website, it says that vaccines are safe. How we know? Vaccines go rigorous and extensive testing to determine their safety and effectiveness. This is what the FDA says is happening. This is what I believe was happening when I worked on the doctor's television show. Certainly, we test these like crazy. Remember, we talk about fast-tracking drugs as though that might be advantageous. We know there's a danger to it. But those are for people that are dying of AIDS, that are dying of cancer, that are dying of major illnesses. Sure, they're willing to take the risk. But vaccines are given to perfectly healthy children. You would expect the rigors of that safety test to be even more robust. Since these children don't have a problem going on, there's no emergency, they're perfectly healthy.
קצת על מחקרים קליניים, זה שלב במעבדה, פחות מעניין אותנו, זה הפרה-קליני, שלב במה שנקרא בצלחות פטרי, בבעלי חיים, אחר כך אנחנו עוברים לשלב הראשון, שזו אוכלוסייה מאוד מאוד מצומצמת, צריכה להיות אוכלוסייה מאוד מאוד בריאה, כי בעצם אנחנו מחפשים לראות אם יש תופעות מיידיות ומאוד מאוד קשות. שלב שני, אוכלוסייה כבר קצת יותר גדולה וצריכה להיות אוכלוסיית היעד, זאת אומרת, אם היעד שלנו הוא אנשים בגילאי 20 עד 30, אז גם המשתתפים בניסוי צריכים להיות בגילאי 20 עד 30. אם אוכלוסיית היעד שלנו זה חולי סרטן, אז גם המשתתפים בניסוי צריכים להיות חולי סרטן. והשלב הקריטי שעל פיו נקבע, על פיו נכתב בעצם אלון היצרן, זה שלב 3. שלב 3 צריך להכיל כמות מאוד מאוד גדולה של משתתפים, אוקיי? עם אוכלוסיית היעד. צריך חייבת להיות קבוצת בקרה שאליה משווים, כי אם לא תהיה קבוצת בקרה, איך נדע אם התופעות בקבוצת הניסוי הן הגיוניות, שייכות לניסוי או לא שייכות לניסוי. אז חייבת להיות קבוצת בקרה, והתופעות שמתגלות בשלב הזה הן תופעות הלוואי שמופיעות אחר כך באלון היצרן. מעבר לזה יש את פייז 4 שכולנו נמצאים בו עכשיו. פייז 4 זה השלב שמפיצים לאוכלוסייה, ובאופן תיאורטי אמורים לאסוף תופעות לוואי מהציבור, ולתעד אותן ולהוציא עדכונים. אז כמו שאמרנו, שלב 3 זה השלב החשוב. סוג המחקר שאנחנו מאוד מאוד רוצים שיהיה בשלב 3 זה RCT-DB. מה זה אומר? Randomized Control Test, Double Blind. זה אומר שיש שתי קבוצות, שמחולקות באופן אקראי, אתה לא יודע אם, אם אתה בקבוצת הניסוי או בקבוצת המחקר, וזה דאבל בליינד כי גם החוקר לא יודע באיזה קבוצה אתה נמצא. כשהוא אוסף ממך את הדיווח על תופעות הלוואי, כשהוא עושה לך בדיקות אחר כך, בדיקות דם, זה, הוא לא יודע באיזה קבוצה אתה היית, אם קיבלת את מה שקיבלה קבוצת הבקרה, או קיבלת את מה שקיבלה קבוצת הניסוי. ומה שעושים זה באופן תיאורטי, וזה מה שקורה בתרופות, קבוצת הבקרה אמורה לקבל תרכיב ניטרלי. תרכיב שאין לו שום השפעה לפרמטרים הנבדקים. אוקיי? בפועל, אף אחד מחיסוני השגרה שניתנים במדינת ישראל לא נבדק מול פלסיבו. אף לא אחד. כולם נבדקו בכל מיני טכניקות שונות ומשונות, ואני מיד אגיע לזה. אז הנה, זה מה שקורה, יש לנו את כלל האוכלוסייה, מחלקים לשתי קבוצות, יש לנו קבוצת ההתערבות, קבוצת הניסוי, ויש לנו את קבוצת הבקרה, ואנחנו בודקים את שכיחות, את השכיחות של כל מיני תופעות, בקבוצת הבקרה ובקבוצת הניסוי, כדי לראות האם לטיפול שלנו יש איזושהי השפעה מזיקה. זה בהיבט של בטיחות. מה קורה, למה חשוב לנו מאוד שזה יהיה תרכיב נקי לגמרי? למה זה לא יכול להיות, למשל, את אותו תרכיב של החיסון, רק בלי האלמנט הפעיל? כי יש כל מיני חומרים בחיסונים, שגורמים לכל מיני תופעות. וזה לא רק הווירוס עצמו, או החיידק, או המעטפת של החיידק, שיכולים לגרום לתופעות לוואי. יש לא מעט חומרים בחיסונים, בחומרים נלווים, חומרים משמרים, אג'ובנטים, אג'ובנטים זה חומרים שהתפקיד שלהם להמריץ את מערכת החיסון, אז יש שם לא מעט חומרים שצריך לבדוק איך הם משפיעים, ואיך בשילוב שלהם, באינטגרציה שלהם, הם עובדים על הגוף שלנו. אז יש כאן קישור לאתר רשמי, שמכיל את הרשימת רכיבים המלאה של כל אחד מתרכיבי החיסון הקיימים. גם ארגון הבריאות העולמי מדגיש את החשיבות של שימוש בפלסיבו, בתרכיב ניטרלי אמיתי, בניסויים קליניים של חיסונים. והוא מדגיש את החשיבות של זה. וכמו שאמרתי, בפועל זה לא קורה. בפועל זה לא קורה. הנה, זה עוד התייחסות מארגון הבריאות העולמי. עכשיו, מה קורה בפועל? בפועל, מה שאומרים משווקי החיסונים, וזה שזה לא אתי להשאיר את קבוצת הבקרה חשופה למחלה. נגיד, אנחנו באים לבדוק חיסון פוליו, מה, אנחנו נשאיר את קבוצת הבקרה חשופה לפוליו? חלילה. אז מה עושים? קיים חיסון קודם למחלה, אז קבוצת הביקורת תקבל את החיסון הקודם, שהוא כבר הרי אנחנו יודעים, הוא בטוח, הוא זה, כבר הוא נבדק, הוא כבר שוחרר, כבר משתמשים בו הרבה שנים, וקבוצת הניסוי תקבל את החיסון החדש, וככה נשווה. נגיד שזה הגיוני, אבל מה קורה כשאין חיסון חדש? כשאין חיסון ישן? אין ברירה. חייבים מול קבוצת בקרה, אחרת איך נדע? למה נשווה? אנחנו מדברים, אוקיי, עם חיסון חדש אנחנו צריכים לבדוק אותו מול פלסיבו, אבל אם יש לנו חיסון קודם, אז יש לנו צו, אוקיי? אנחנו עומדים על צו. אז בואו נראה שנייה. MMR, מול מה הוא נבדק? ה-MMRV שניתן היום נבדק מול MMR פלוס V. מול מה נבדק ה-MMR? יש לנו עוד צו. אוקיי? יש לנו עוד צו, מול מה נבדק ה-MMR? ה-MMR נבדק מול MMR אחר, ישן יותר. מול מה נבדק ה-MMR האחר? אף אחד לא יודע ומסתבר שזה סוד מסחרי. אוקיי? אז אם אנחנו מדברים על מי פה, הגברת הזקנה עם הצבים, הגברת הזקנה עם הצבים זה אלה שמפתחים לנו את החיסונים. הם שמים לנו צו על צו על צו על צו. כשבפועל אנחנו לא באמת יודעים. ארגון המחקר קוקרין, אחד מהארגונים הבלתי תלויים הבודדים בעולם, אומר מפורשות שהבטיחות לא מספקת. אין מספיק מבדקי בטיחות. בוא נעבור לפרבנר שכבר הסתכלנו עליו קודם. פרבנר 13, חיסון חדש, מבוסס על פרבנר 7. מול מה הוא נבדק? פרבנר 13, received at least one dose of פרבנר, active control. פרבנר 13 מול פרבנר הראשון. אמרנו שאוקיי, הגיוני לשים פה איזה צו על צו. נכון? כי היה כבר חיסון ותיק, אי אפשר להשאיר את האוכלוסייה חשופה. שימו לב, היו מקרי מוות בשתי הקבוצות אצל תינוקות. מקרי מוות בשני המקרים. אז בואו נבדוק מה עשו עם פרבנר המקורי. מן הסתם, זה היה החיסון הראשון לפנאומוקוק. נכון? כאן צריך להיות, צריך להיות פלסבו אמיתי. Either Prevnar or a control vaccine, an investigational meningococcal group C conjugate vaccine. לא רק שזה לא נבדק מול פלסיבו, זה נבדק מול חיסון למחלה אחרת לגמרי, אז איפה הטענה הזאת של לא משאירים את קבוצת הבקרה חשופה? קבוצת הבקרה בכל מקרה נשארה חשופה לפנאומוקוק. אז למה? למה לתת לקבוצת הבקרה חיסון אחר, שלא רק שאנחנו לא יודעים את פרופיל הבטיחות שלו, הוא אפילו חיסון ניסיוני שמשתמשים בו. למה לעשות את זה? אין שום דרך להסביר את זה, מעבר להבנה מאוד מאוד פשוטה שהחיסונים, שהניסויים האלה פשוט מתוכננים כדי למסך את תופעות הלוואי. מתוכננים בצורה כזאת, ויש להם המון המון טכניקות שהם משתמשים בהם כדי למסך את תופעות הלוואי, כמו להחליף בין הקבוצות. נגיד, זאת הייתה קבוצת בקרה וזאת קבוצת ניסוי, במנה השנייה מחליפים ביניהם. הנה, למשל, חיסון הגרדסיל. גרדסיל, קבוצת הבקרה, indistinguishable, aluminum containing placebo. לא סתם, הם קוראים לזה פלסיבו בשיא חוצפתם. קוראים לזה פלסיבו, כי לא היה שם את הגורם המגן, אבל היה שם אלומיניום, ובחלק מהקבוצות היה פי 6 יותר אלומיניום ממה שיש בחיסון האמיתי. אז לא פלא שקבוצת הבקרה שלהם סבלה מיותר תופעות לוואי מקבוצת הניסוי. זה לא יאומן. תראו למשל איך אושר, אגב זה כבר זה נושא להרצאה שלמה, הפרוטוקולים של הוועדה המייעצת למחלות זיהומיות וחיסונים. הפרוטוקולים שלהם מהממים, לקרוא את זה ולהתעלף. פרופסור דגן, תופעות הלוואי של החיסון הזה רק מקומיות ולא מזיקות. ומה מדברים? זה המלצות, שימו לב, זה חיסון נשים בהיריון. חיסון נשים בהיריון לשאלת טטנוס ודיפטריה, שקוראים לזה חיסון שאלת, אבל צריך לזכור שזה שאלת טטנוס דיפטריה. ההמלצות היו מבוססות על היגיון קליני, רפואי ואפידמיולוגי, ופחות על מידע. על סמך זה, הם אישרו להזריק חיסון לנשים בהיריון. אוקיי? התועלת, ההשפעה החיובית על התינוקות, צפויה אך לא מוכחת. ככה הם אישרו. ועכשיו כשמציגים את זה, כשמציגים את זה לאנשי רפואה, וכשהם מבינים שנגמרו להם הטענות, הם עוברים להתקפות אישיות. אד הומינם, קלאסי. וכשאתה ממשיך ואתה מוכיח להם את הדברים האלה, מה קורה? הם נעלמים. ניהלתי אינסוף ויכוחים כאלה, אינסוף דיונים עם אנשים מהצד שמשווק חיסונים. הם נעלמים. ברגע שהם מבינים שאין להם יותר מה להגיד ושלא עובד עליך גם כל הקטע הזה של ההשמצות האישיות, כי התרגלת, אז הם פשוט נעלמים. ואני שואלת, איך זה יכול להיות שפשוט הם לא מצליחים לראות את זה? הם לא מצליחים לראות את הבעייתיות הזאת, ויש פה פשוט דיסוננס קוגנטיבי לא פשוט. כי הרופא משפחה שלכם רוב הסיכויים שהוא לא מכיר את המידע הזה. הוא לא מכיר את המידע הזה, ואם אתם תפילו עליו את כל החומר הזה, מעטים מהם יגידו וואו אני יושב ללמוד, והרוב לא יכול להיות, כל הקריירה שלי בנויה הזה, כל מה שלמדתי, כל האנשים שאני מעריץ, כל הפרופסורים החכמים שלי, פוף, דיסוננס קוגניטיבי וסגרנו. וכשאנחנו מבקשים מהם, בוודאי, וכשאתה מבקש מהם, אתם מכירים את פרופסור דניאל מישורי? פרופסור לאתיקה באוניברסיטת תל אביב, אני חושבת שפרופסור מזה שהוא מרצה, אני לא יודעת, דוקטור דניאל מישורי, אתה צודק, הוא מרצה לאתיקה, והוא קרא את ספר עצבים, והוא העלה אתגר לרשת. כן, הוא אמר, אני מציע 2,000 שקל, לכל מי שמצליח להביא לי, מחקר אחד, מחקר קליני, שלב 3, מחקר בטיחות, שבו קבוצת הבקרה קיבלה פלסיבו, אחד. זה עלה כבר לכמה עשרות, כי אנשים עוד הצטרפו, כל אחד תרם עוד סכום ואמר, אמר, מי שמצליח להביא, אני תורם לפי רצונו את הכסף הזה לכל מחלקה לבחירתו בבית חולים. עברו מאז כבר 3 שנים. אף אחד לא הצליח, הם זורקים עלינו מחקרים בכמויות, זורקים עוד, הנה, הנה, פה כתוב פלסיבו. הם חושבים שאנחנו מפגרים, כן? שהם קוראים פלסיבו באבסטרקט, וזה באמת, ואז אתה הולך ואתה קורא את השיטת מחקר. ואתה קורא מה באמת היה בפלסיבו הזה, ואז אתה מגלה אלומיניום קונטיינינג פלסיבו, שזה לא פלסיבו, זה שקר. ואז אתה מוצא עוד אחד ועוד אחד, ומפיצים, מציפים אותך במחקרים כאלה, מחקרי זבל שלא שווים כלום, ונעלמים אחר כך.
Not only that, vaccines have another exemption that most people don't know about. They are the only medical product that does not have to be safety tested against a placebo. And that exemption is an artifact of CDC's legacy as the public health service, which was a quasi-military agency, which is why people at CDC have military ranks like Surgeon General and they wear uniforms. The vaccine program was conceived as a national security defense against biological attacks on our country, and they wanted to make sure that if the Russians attacked us with a biological agent, anthrax or something like that, that we could quickly formulate a vaccine and deploy it to 200 million American civilians without regulatory impediments. They said, if we call it a medicine, we're going to have to test it. And that takes 5 years to do double-blind placebo testing. So let's call it something else. We'll call it a biologic and we'll exempt biologics from safety testing. So not a single one of the vaccines, the 72 vaccines now administered to our children, have ever been tested against a placebo. And I, in fact, sued HHS in 2016 and said, show me any placebo studies that you have for any vaccines, and they were unable to do so. None of them have been tested, and you don't have to sue them like I did. anybody can go on their cell phone and look up manufacturer's insert, hepatitis B vaccine, Gardasil vaccine, polio vaccine. Do you know how many days the current polio vaccine, do you know how many days it was safety tested for, Alan? 48 hours. Huh. The hepatitis B vaccine, the Glaxo version, was 4 days. The Merck version, 5 days. That means that if the baby they gave that to had a seizure on day six, it never happened. If the baby died on day six, it never happened. If the baby got food allergies that were diagnosed 2 years later, it never happened. If the baby got autism, which is not diagnosed till 4 years of age, 4.2 years of age, it never happened. Autoimmune diseases, you cannot see those if you have these short-term studies, and you can't see any risk if you don't test against a placebo. And my question is, nobody knows, because of that, nobody knows the risk profile for any vaccine that is currently on the schedule. And that means nobody can say with any scientific certainty that that vaccine is averting more injuries and deaths than it's causing. And my question is, how in the heck can we be mandating to children that they take a medical product for which we do not know the risks? And to me, that is criminal.
Now, as a medical doctor who was taught to think, I then went into the literature and said, are proper science studies done, safety studies, where you take a vaccine and you inject it into 100 kids, and then you give 100 kids a saline placebo, meaning it's inert. No study exists to actually evaluate the safety of a vaccine compared to a placebo group. None.
You know, you said, well, if it's tested against a placebo, and this, I think, is why people like me are suspicious, are reticent. The Oxford vaccine, which is, you know, is the other leader. Gates has a huge investment in it. Fauci is pushing it. It is the leader. AstraZeneca is now, you know, is branding it. Well, that vaccine is run by a guy called Greg Pollard, who is at Oxford, a very, very famous, powerful virologist. He originally promised at the beginning, he said, we're going to test it against a placebo. We're going to do what's never been done in vaccinology before. We're going to actually use an inert placebo and test it. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of his phase two, he said, no, we're going to test it against the meningitis vaccine. The meningitis vaccine is a vaccine with a really high injury profile. It has listed just on its manufacturing insert are 50 deadly serious injuries, including Kawasaki disease, Guillain-Barre, paralysis, seizure, heart attacks, and death, and hepatitis, and all kinds of autoimmune disease. It's arguably the most dangerous vaccine. So instead of giving his placebo group an inert placebo, he's giving them the most dangerous vaccine he can. Why? It's a ploy that vaccinologists use. And they give their placebo group something that's horrendously dangerous to mask injuries in the vaccine. And, you know, and so everybody on my side sees this and they say, he's not being honest. We do not know what the risk profile of that product is. We are never going to take that product because it was never tested against a placebo. Make them do the science. Don't say to, you know, get angry at people who are skeptical and say, oh, you're skeptical. We're watching the sausage get made, and it's an ugly process. And by the way, he gave that vaccine to a bunch of monkeys, you know, macaques. And then he challenged the macaques by exposing them to the wild coronavirus.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of the macaques got sick. So the vaccine doesn't work, but because the British government put £90,000 into it, he now is in order to make 2 million doses with a vaccine we know doesn't work, and they're going forward with it anyway, and he refuses to test it against a placebo. So that gives us zero faith.
After Nazi Germany, every free nation in the world signed on to the Nuremberg Code, which said we will never again let human beings be experimented upon without their approval. There's many rules to the Nuremberg Code, but the most important one, the first one, is informed consent. Let's read this. The voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion. What do you call it when you're told your child cannot go into a preschool or a kindergarten unless they get their vaccine? Coercion. In the United States of America and in these mandating laws, they're using coercion. The newspaper we read from is coercing you into getting a vaccine. They're threatening to protest your existence if you do not get this product. We are all breaking the Nuremberg Code as we speak. And they used to say, Dell, you know, you can't call a vaccine a medical experiment because it's been tested. It's something we do all the time. Until I saw that ACIP meeting, and now I have proof. In their own words, they just said, you're a part of a medical experiment. And since no single vaccine we give our kids has ever been through a placebo study, your kids are a part of the greatest human experiment in history. And it's failing.
ככל שאני קורא בעיון את הניסויים הקליניים שעל פיהם נבחרו המחקרים, ואני קורא ומשתכנע שהשיקולים הם עניינים.
How is their science being done? Well, the FDA says vaccines undergo rigorous and extensive testing to determine their safety and effectiveness. Okay, sounds good, looks good, I read it. Okay, every other reporter in the world says, job done, let me put this in the paper and then call Del Bigtree a huckster. Well, here's what Del Bigtree does. Del Bigtree challenges that idea. So I looked up, how do we test? What is the gold standard for testing pharmaceutical products? It's a double-blind placebo study. Raise your hand if you understand what a double-blind placebo study is. Okay, most of us do. For those of us that don't, really quickly, when you have to get something approved for safety in the FDA, it's a pharmaceutical product. One group, in this case, gets Lipitor, the drug, and then another half, we just divide it in half. None of you know who's on which side. And then the other half gets a sugar pill painted to look just like Lipitor. You all take it, and for 4.8 years, we watch your health. And by the end of that 4.8 years, the trial is over, and we ask simple questions. Who had more cancer? Who had more diabetes? Who had more, autoimmune diseases? And if the same group, if both groups, the sugar pill and the drug group, and this, another scientist is double blind, they were blind, they didn't know who got what, the people in it didn't know who got what, if the health outcome is about the same, the drug gets approved. Really simple, that's the gold standard. Remember scientific method? That's the gold standard. When it's an injectable product like Enbrel, it's a 6.6-year safety trial with a saline injection. Definition of placebo, a product that has no effect on the human body whatsoever. All right, that's how drugs are done, and they're pretty good at it. One, every once in a while, one gets through, like Vioxx. We find out they were lying even on that trial, but at least they were doing it. Now we look at vaccines. The hepatitis B vaccine. There's two versions, GSK's and Merck's. Not 5 years. Not 5 months, not 5 weeks, 5 days is how long the safety trial lasted for a product we are injecting into a baby in the first 24 hours of life. Hello, welcome to the world. You're breathing your first breath, and now comes your first sexually transmitted disease. I don't know how that makes sense to anybody. And I'm pretty sure looking out at this audience, you're a bit like me. I mean, I have ways I'm going to raise my child, but I don't think they'll be sharing heroin needles in the near future. And that's what this vaccine is for. That's how you get hepatitis B, just like you get HIV/AIDS. Same type of issue, a sexually transmitted disease. and a 4 or 5 day safety trial, and this is beautiful. So if your child died in this trial at day six, it didn't happen. If your child develops multiple sclerosis 2 or 3 years later, which is how long an autoimmune disease takes to develop, it didn't happen. They'll say, no, the safety trials were done on Hep B. We didn't see any autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis. Who has ever heard of an autoimmune disease happening in 5 days? You don't. It's crazy. And look at the placebo group. No placebo group at all. They just, so if there was a problem, someone did die, they can say, well, children die. It was natural causes. It was SIDS. Sudden unexplained death. We just don't know. And they write it off. If you don't have a placebo group to say, but nobody died in your placebo group, then they can just say it's natural causes. You've already heard Mary Holland and Kim Mack Rosenberg discuss how some of these things are done. Look at this, polio. 48-hour safety trial for the polio vaccine. Even better, this one had a placebo. Look what they used. The DTP vaccine? The one we just discovered is killing 10 times the amount of kids in Guinea-Bissau, Africa, than those that don't get it? The polio vaccine was as safe as DTP? Great, let's put it on the market, give it to every child in the world. Does this make sense to anybody? Why are we doing this? My nonprofit has investigated this, and here's what we found. You might be told the reason we don't do a placebo study on the vaccine is because it's just replacing an older vaccine, as though the older vaccine was once tested against a placebo. So therefore, if it's as safe as the old one, we're fine. Not true. We looked. None of them. Not the old ones, not the new ones, not the future ones. None of them are ever being tested against a placebo control. So they cannot, let me make this as clear as I can. I challenge any scientist that may be here to challenge me. You cannot say something's safe without comparing it to a group that didn't get it. That's what a placebo group is for. You can say it's as safe as DTP, it's as safe as the old MMR, okay, but you can't say safe, period. Safe means safe is not getting it. And that study has never been done on a single childhood vaccine you give your children. That should bother you. That should bother you.
When vaccines are studied, the maximum amount of days that vaccines are studied are up to 10 days to 2 weeks. And unfortunately, the vaccine manufacturers pre-select what side effects they will allow to be associated with the vaccines. So if a child has a vaccine reaction that is associated with the vaccine manufacturers will decide whether or not it should or should not be associated with the vaccine. And the public knows this, and they're learning it more and more. So if your child develops seizures 5 months after a vaccine, your child is told by the doctor that it had nothing to do with the vaccine. But that's not true because there are no studies to prove it. There's opinion, but there's never been a study really addressing whether a vaccination at 2 months or even 9 hours of age could be related to an event that happened months or even years later. And yet we have some of the sickest children in our country.
התהליכים שבהם חיסונים מפותחים בחברות, נכון, זה נעשה בחברות פרטיות, אבל התהליכים מבוקרים על ידי ועדות חיצוניות. התהליכים שאני מכיר הם תהליכים תקינים שיש הם בקרה אובייקטיבית של אנשים אובייקטיביים.
But can you sue? All of these we could sue, but when it comes to vaccines in America, we can't sue. It's the only product like it. We can't sue because in 1986, the makers of vaccines, as the Institute of Medicine described it, they were losing so much money from death and injury by vaccines, they could not make a profit. I want you to think about that. They could not make a profit. So we're not talking about the shining star of the pharmaceutical industry here. We're talking about the worst product they've ever had. They are being sued so often they can't make a profit, so they threaten, basically blackmail Ronald Reagan and say, we're going to stop making all vaccines unless you protect us from liability. You want vaccines? Then you better protect us. And so Ronald Reagan signed the 1986 Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, taking away our right to sue. Right there, you kind of have to think, if they need to be protected from liability, there must be a problem with this product, right? Isn't that what smart people think? Isn't that what journalists are supposed to be writing about? I think so. So what happened? 1986, we take away liability, and suddenly, boom, it explodes. Why wouldn't it? If this is your product and you have no liability and you were stuck in these multi-year safety studies you were saying you were doing anyway, then now all of a sudden I don't really need to do that. You can't sue me. I can just put it on the market. Here we go. Line up, everybody. Guess what? We can make you healthier. You thought 11 vaccines was good. Wait till we give you 54. Then you're really going to be doing good. And we're going to be making billions of dollars, $50 billion a year being made now by vaccines in the United States of America per year. But here's the problem. You're being told this is all about your children. You're all worried that maybe they're going to start vaccinating your children. The pharmaceutical lobby is the most powerful lobby in Washington. I would guess it's the most powerful lobby in the world at this point. In America, they're outspending oil and gas 2-1. As far as I'm concerned, we fight wars all over this region for oil and gas, so I know what they get for their money. Pharma's paying twice that. What does pharma want? What are they doing there? They want us to take more OxyContin? They want to lie more about that? Or maybe they like this little product that they can't be sued for. They don't have to advertise because our government's forced it upon us, and everybody has to take it. I assure you, it's not the 2-3% unvaccinated kids that's what this is all about. They're just using the fear of measles in your kids to take away your ability to opt out of the program. Once they have a forced vaccination program in place, every single country is working on a medical ID card. Your future ID card in Europe by 2022 will demand that you get your adult vaccines. In Argentina, the first country we've seen last year, they just made it mandatory. You have to get your adult vaccines before you can get your driver's license or marriage license. And you can't leave the country until you get your adult vaccines. Once they pull that off, it's game over, folks. Informed consent is gone. Of all the nations in the world that should have a little bit of a problem being injected with things they have no control over, it's you. Okay, it's you. And the moment they pass those laws, they go from a $50 billion a year industry in America to a multi-trillion dollar industry. They go from 70 million kids to 340 million kids. And then as America goes, so goes the world. This isn't conspiracy talk. It's written in all the documents our government are working on right now. So this is our future. Hundreds of vaccines are in the approval process, 270 vaccines. Thousands of vaccines are on trials as we speak. The future of pharma is vaccines. And the fact that any reporter thinks that it's cool to not investigate what's going on with pharma, oh, they have no problem talking about the OxyContin epidemic. They'll let you know once Johnson & Johnson is poisoning your babies and it's been proven in court. Now I can report on it. Why aren't they investigating this? You can't sue the manufacturer in America. We sue Health and Human Services, the head of our health department. So we sue the government. We have to sue our own government if we want to get paid back for our child being killed by a vaccine or having any sorts of neurological damage. Think about this. We sue our health agency. And as a parent, in order to win in that court, I have to prove that the science exists that shows that a vaccine can do the harm that I just watched with my own eyes happen to my child. And where do I find that science? That science has to have been done by who? Health and Human Services. I'm suing the scientific body that was supposed to have done the safety science, and the only way I can beat them is if they did do the safety science. Do you understand what's happening here? This is like a murder trial where the murderer is the one doing all of the forensics. This is the greatest conflict of interest that was ever created. All right, who's responsible for vaccine safety? Now, I thought about pulling this out because you're a little bit different, but let me, in America, here's what's going on. I can sue Roundup, which is the herbicide sprayed on 80% of our crops in America, and they're now paying out $3-4 billion in settlements that are happening, thousands of people lined up, and we find out because we're suing, they always knew the product caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder just paid out billions of dollars because they knew the entire time that there was asbestos in talcum powder. They can't mine talc without bringing asbestos with it. They tried to hide it from us, and while they were hiding it to us, and our doctor said, just sprinkle it on if there's any moisture. In fact, our little babies were coming out of the shower, and we were sprinkling it all over their genitals, leading to ovarian cancer and future cancers, and then our mothers were breathing it. And then, of course, Merck, who makes most of our childhood vaccines in America, Merck had Vioxx, a headache pill that ended up killing over 100,000 people before we took them to court. Many say that this drug killed 500,000 people before we finally found out about it. And then when we were suing them, we found out in internal memos, because lots of doctors were starting to see more heart attacks, were starting to question the product, Merck said to those individuals that were sent out to sell this product to doctors, internal memo says to all of them, don't pay attention or worry about those doctors that are questioning the safety of Vioxx. We will hunt them down and destroy them where they work. That's what an internal email said. So that's how they think about their doctors. That's how they think about you. We're all just a bunch of pawns. We're going to make money, and don't listen to all the hype until we have to pay out a multi-billion dollar lawsuit, and then we'll just take the product off the market. I don't even know how this company is ever even allowed to work in the United States of America again. You just murdered as many people as died in the Vietnam War. And yet you still have a license in America, and yet your products are being forced onto us by our own government. This makes absolutely no sense.
In the last 30 years, the childhood vaccine schedule has tripled, while the U.S. autism rate has skyrocketed from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 50. Dozens of published research papers show that, yes, vaccines and autism are linked. Yet the debate rages on, in part because of the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, passed by Congress as a result of pharmaceutical lobbying. It shields drug companies from liability for injuries and deaths caused by the vaccines they manufacture. Vaccines that the federal government admits are unavoidably unsafe. To see how this tilted the law in Big Pharma's favor, let's look at Eric, a child suffering from vaccine-induced autism. Had Eric been harmed by a pharmaceutical product other than vaccines, his parents could sue the manufacturer in civil court, entitling them to the standard legal process with a judge, jury, private attorneys, legal precedent, and discovery, all within public view. But for kids like Eric, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act says no. Instead of suing the pharmaceutical company directly, parents of children like Eric are forced to petition the Department of Health and Human Services, and if federal health officials oppose compensation, the case is argued before a special master in the U.S. Claims Court. Many refer to this as vaccine court, though it isn't a court at all, but rather an administrative procedure in which the family asks the government to admit the vaccine caused their child harm and requests compensation for the child's care. Here are some shocking facts about the so-called vaccine court. Pharmaceutical companies do not have to participate in the proceedings at all. Taxpayers pay for all damages. The U.S. Department of Justice acts as the government's lawyer, with taxpayers footing the bill for their defense. The family's attorney is paid out of the trust fund, administered by the Department of Health and Human Services, which has a history of punishing plaintiffs' lawyers by slashing their fees and waiting a decade or more to pay them, leaving some families without any legal representation. There's no required discovery process, so potentially incriminating documents stay hidden in the hands of the vaccine manufacturers. Most hearings are off limits. No public, no reporters. There's no judge or jury, A special master appointed by the U.S. Court of Federal Claims both presides over the hearings and issues the rulings, which can limit the chance of an objective verdict. Legal precedent is limited, so the program issues contradictory rulings. In the case of Bailey Banks, a special master ruled the boy's autism was caused in fact by the MMR vaccine. Yet in later cases, special masters ruled that vaccines do not cause autism, even though federal compensation has been awarded in at least 83 cases with autism. Almost unbelievably, the Department of Health and Human Services actually owns vaccine patents. When these vaccines are purchased, HHS profits. In the words of Eric's mom, government attorneys defend a government program using government-funded science decided by federal bureaucrats trying to keep their government jobs. Kids like Eric never had a chance. The passing of the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act prompted manufacturers to ramp up development of new vaccines, furiously lobbying the CDC to add their new shots to the recommended schedule. As a result, a baby today receives more vaccinations by 6 months than her mother did by the time she graduated high school.
When you grew up, I grew up, Alan, we had three vaccines, and all of them were deemed as necessary. There were fewer diseases. Today's kids have to take 72 vaccines, 72 doses of 16 vaccines in order to stay in school. And that explosion of new vaccination came in 1989, right after the passage of VICA, Vaccine Act. The Vaccine Act gave blanket immunity from liability to vaccine companies. And so those companies all of a sudden looked around and they said, holy cow, now we've got a product where we are completely excused from the highest cost from that afflicts every other medical product, which is the downstream liability for injuries. That's the biggest cost for every medicine.
Because now I focus at least 80% of my time on vaccine injury cases, and there are more than I can handle. I'm not suggesting that everyone on the government side or in the court, certainly not in the court, are bad actors, that they're doing this out of some ill will or some desire to hide something that they know about. The system is set up in a way that we cannot get at the truth. And that is a much more profound policy problem that's cultural, that's societal, that's political.
Did you know that since the late 1980s, vaccine manufacturers cannot be sued?
The vaccine makers have been protected by Congress under the Vaccine Injury Act. The anger and the rage that whites in my audiences I've attended, blacks, and Latino mothers, they said, wait a minute, we can't sue them? I mean, even those that I have met that are pro-vaccine, when you let them know that the vaccine makers cannot be sued, even they say, wait a minute, I'm against what you're here for, but I ain't for that. You telling me that I can't sue the vaccine makers if it's proven that vaccine injured my child? I said, no. They're indemnified. You can't touch them.
One of the first red flags that scares me the most about vaccines is that they remove any potential for litigation against any damage from vaccines. What that tells you is that they don't have the science set up properly. The original vaccinations, the toxins or whatever they wanted to call them, to try to put a tiny little bit of a disease into you so that that would get your immune system to become aware of that and used to that and then therefore fight it off and be stronger. That principle is actually a fairly sound principle. But when it came to making money and getting everyone to get vaccinated for all manner of things when it wasn't required, it became a money scheme. As children, we were injected with all manner of poisons. I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't figure it out. One day my eye drooped. I remember my eye drooping, directly related to a vaccination. My eye drooped permanently. Vaccinations are irresponsible the way that they're done. If they were responsible, if they made absolutely sure that there was no possibility of a negative side effect, and that if they didn't do their due diligence properly, that they could be litigated against, fair is fair. They don't do those things. There's so many red flags around vaccinations.
You have the vaccine manufacturers pretending that they were having production problems and going to Congress and saying, we need to upgrade our plant, our physical plant, to make more of this, but we're not going to spend the money because we're getting sued. And if we're going to get sued, if we're going to spend the money to make a product to get sued, it doesn't make sense for us business-wise. We're dropping out of the vaccine business. And all of the vaccine manufacturers went to Congress and told them, we're dropping out of the business unless you do something to make it so that we can stay in the business, which is where the vaccine compensation program, the vaccine act, the vaccine court, the things that you've heard so many things about around this area over the past few days, that's where the whole idea came from. It came from the manufacturers who could no longer defend themselves and Congress saying we need to protect the vaccine supply.
I think the choice at that time was was not an irrational choice by Congress given the alternatives that they were presented. And the alternative was that I think the calculus was based upon the idea that at that point there was so much litigation against the vaccine companies that the pharmaceutical industry was considering abandoning vaccines altogether. Okay. So Congress, and I think vaccine companies went to Congress and said, we're going to stop making vaccines, and that's going to be a national security problem, because if there's a bioterrorism attack or, if there is an epidemic, there's going to be no factories that are up and running that can create new vaccines that can respond to those national emergencies. And so if you want us to continue to make vaccines, you're going to have to give us immunity from litigation. And that's what happened.
If you're a surgeon, you can't go into the OR without liability insurance. What business do you know is allowed to practice and offer its service without liability insurance?
And what product that carries a risk of injury or death, what other product is mandated to be used by every single person born in this country multiple times, and there's no liability for anybody?
The vaccine industry has absolute legal immunity. In other words, they push all the risks of their toxic interventions onto the individuals, the families, the moms and dads. They take no risk whatsoever. And you know why? Because they have legal immunity, and it means they have no reason to have quality control. If they wanted to, they could put radioactive cesium-137 into a vaccine and inject people with it and cause you cancer, and they would have absolute no liability whatsoever. They could put anything in a vaccine, and to some extent they do. They put known neurotoxins in the vaccines. It's criminal. It's criminal what they do to our fellow human beings.
התהליכים שבהם חיסונים מפותחים בחברות, נכון, זה נעשה בחברות פרטיות, והתהליכים מבוקרים על ידי ועדות חיצוניות. התהליכים שאני מכיר הם תהליכים תקינים שיש הם בקרה אובייקטיבית של אנשים אובייקטיביים.
ובקיצור, כל מה שהם רוצים זה כל הזמן good news. הם מעלימים במחקרים שלהם, בפרסומים שלהם, הם מעלימים את התופעות לוואי, הם מעלימים את הכשלים, הם אחר כך גם משלמים פיצויים במיליארדים, אבל אנחנו כבר ראינו 187 מיליארד דולר בשנה אחת. אז הם ישלמו איזה אחוז קטן מזה בפיצויים, כשיתפסו אותם. לפעמים זה 15 שנה אחרי.
You can't sue them. There's no discovery. There's no depositions. There's no class action suit. There's no district litigation. There's no interrogatories, nothing. They never get caught. Now, these four companies that make all of our vaccines, all 72 of the vaccine shots that are now mandated for our children, every one of them is a convicted serial felon. Axo, Sanofi, Pfizer, Merck, in the past 10 years, just in the last decade, those companies have paid $35 billion in criminal penalties, damages, fines, for lying to doctors, for defrauding science, for falsifying science, for killing hundreds of thousands of Americans knowingly and getting away with it. Vioxx, which was Merck's biggest vaccine producer, Vioxx, which was their flagship product in 2007, was a pill that they marketed as a headache pill that caused heart attacks. They knew it caused heart attacks because they saw them in the signals in their clinical trials. They didn't tell the American public. And they killed between 120,000 and 500,000 Americans who did not need to die. And most of those Americans were people who had rheumatoid arthritis or they had headaches and migraines. They took that pill, believing, and by the way, when we sued them, we got spreadsheets from their bean counters where they said, we're going to kill all these people. We're still going to make a profit, so let's go ahead.
Nobody can justify that. I agree with
right.
you completely.
And nobody. They ended up, they should have all gone to prison and said they paid a $7 billion fine. But how can anybody, it requires a cognitive dissonance for people who understand the criminal corporate cultures of these four companies to believe that they're doing this in every other product that they have, but they're not doing it with vaccines. They are.
The vaccine is coming out soon. I won't be talking about it, but I will tell you about the company behind it. The UK government has purchased 30 million doses of COVID mRNA vaccine from a company called Pfizer. The vaccine is due to be delivered in November, with the potential of 100 million doses by the end of the year and 1.3 billion doses next year.
News just out, Pfizer says it could be ready to apply for emergency use authorization for its COVID-19 vaccine candidate by late November.
It won't be mandatory at the beginning, but judging from the large orders, a gradual plan will be implemented to persuade and incentivize people to take the vaccine and put restrictions on people that don't, along with shaming campaigns.
I want to tell them that their decision, they need to understand, will not affect only their lives, which at the end of the day, it is their judgment, but will affect the lives of others. Because if they don't vaccinate, they will become the weak link that will allow this virus to replicate.
Some will say that this is conspiracy theory, so let's just stick to the facts. The government trusted Pfizer to vaccinate the British people, so it's logical to want to inquire into the company's track record in safety and ethics. After all, they must be trustworthy in fighting for humanity, right? Pfizer made itself one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world by purchasing its competitors and through aggressive marketing tactics. What I'm about to tell you is only 20% of their rap sheet, otherwise this video would be hours long, but you can go to our website where you can see the full list. Pfizer received the biggest criminal fine in US history as part of a $2.3 billion settlement with federal prosecutors for mispromoting medicines and for paying kickbacks to compliant doctors. Pfizer pleaded guilty to misbranding the painkiller Bextra by promoting the drug for uses that were not approved by medical regulators. In the 90s, they were involved in defective heart valves that led to the deaths of more than 100 people. The company had deliberately misled regulators about the hazards. The company agreed to pay $10.75 million to settle Justice Department charges. Pfizer also had a class action suit with a $60 million settlement over Rezolin, diabetes medication, that resulted in patients dying from acute liver failure, said to be caused by the drug. In the UK, they have been fined nearly £90 million by the UK's competition watchdog for unfair pricing to the NHS after hiking up the cost of an anti-epilepsy drug by 2,500%, charging the taxpayer an extra £48 million than the actual price, which is £2 million per year. Buying competitors and mis-selling drugs weren't the only factors in making them the giant of a company they are. Their special relations with doctors and medical professionals has also helped. In 2004, Pfizer's subsidiary agreed to pay $430 million to resolve criminal charges that it paid physicians to prescribe its epilepsy drug, Neurontin, to patients with ailments for which the medication was not approved. In 2010, a federal jury found that Pfizer committed racketeering fraud in its marketing of the drug. Pfizer disclosed that during a six-month period the previous year, it had paid $20 million to some 4,500 doctors and other medical professionals for speaking on the company's behalf. In 2012, the US Securities and Exchange Commission announced that it had reached a $45 million settlement with Pfizer to resolve charges that its subsidiaries had bribed overseas doctors and other healthcare professionals to increase foreign sales. But some of you might say, they are a business and they don't get to make billions a year by not being competitive. They're still trying to help humanity. Pfizer was sued in a US federal court by Nigerian families who accused the company of testing a dangerous new antibiotic called Trovan on children without parents' consent and using their children as human guinea pigs. A panel of medical experts concluded that Pfizer had violated international law, and the company agreed to pay $75 million to settle the lawsuits in Nigerian courts. The US case was settled for an undisclosed amount. Amid widespread criticism of high pricing for poor countries, and in particular, AIDS medications, Pfizer offered to donate a two-year supply of its drug, Diflucan, worth $50 million to the South African government. Yet in 2003, Pfizer backed away from the company's plan to license its AIDS drug for low-cost distribution in poor countries. The list goes on. I don't want to bore you with it. But ask yourself, if it was a car manufacturer, would you buy a car from them?
We plan to honor our history, and we will only bring to the world a vaccine that has been proven safe and efficacious.
If Pfizer is trustworthy enough to be given one of the keys to vaccinate the population with something that was knocked up in a few months, and with such a track record for safety and ethics, I know what I think. Do you?
How many people do big pharmaceutical products have to kill until we wake up and realize what the hell's going on here? I mean, from the opiates to the painkillers to the vaccines, I mean, big pharmaceutical companies, there was just that guy on Joe Rogan like 2 days ago who's like, yeah, big pharmaceutical products, they release them. They know they kill tens of thousands of people. But once all the lawsuits and settlements are made, they still make billions of dollars. So they don't care. They shrug their shoulders and do it anyway. And nobody ever goes to jail. So they just keep murdering us with their products and nobody ever goes to jail.
Bobby Kennedy and I and the nonprofit ICANN, the Informed Consent Action Network, we submitted a FOIA request simply looking for any sort of documents related to the work done by HHS pursuant to this mandate by the 86th Vaccine Injury Compensation Act. We want to see 30 years of that two-year report you're mandated to give Congress that shows that you are making vaccines safer. Well, it went all the way to court, and they decided to settle. The Department of Health and Human Services conducted a thorough search of its document tracking systems. The department's searches for records did not locate any records responsive to your request. We got nothing. Zilch, zippo, this court order right here points out the one government agency that's supposed to be protecting us is not doing its job. And it's signed for Informed Consent Action Network at the very end. Yours truly, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., one of the great environmental attorneys of our time. Bobby, I really want to thank you for joining us.
What HHS has admitted here is that there is no scrutiny. There is no vigilance. Most Americans don't understand this, that prior to being licensed, every other pharmaceutical drug and pharmaceutical product has to go through rigorous, randomized, double-blind placebo testing. Vaccines alone are immune from that. So instead of five-year tests with true placebos, vaccines all sometimes get only a few hours of safety testing or a few days. And of course, that's not long enough to spot injuries with long incubation periods like autism, like ADD, like food allergies, like autoimmune diseases. And really, Dell, what it shows is the lackadaisical, the cavalier, the casual attitude IHHS towards vaccine safety.
This is the first time I'm getting to even have the opportunity to congratulate you on what we've just achieved in this order.
This is the first of a barrage of legal approaches that we've devised, a legal strategy that we believe will ultimately protect these children finally and bring justice to the families who've been injured. We expect to make a larger and larger and larger impression as we go. I'm very encouraged about our future.
Me too. The federal government has failed us. Demand that your state representative step up by always allowing you to choose whether you want to vaccinate your child or not, when and how often, because this is part of the biggest lie ever told.